Welcome everybody back to the MI Game Dev Podcast. This is our fourth episode, I guess. I'm just back because I was walking the dog and it's been about 3 weeks since the last episode I recorded, so it was time. Basically, there's a lot of updates that I wanted to talk about and I've been spending time on a Mighty Notion page where I've been collecting my episode ideas and, you know, just general thoughts, as I promised back at the beginning that, you know, this will be basically a podcast around anything that's on my mind. It's a bit of a comfort podcast for you in case you are on a trip to build a business or just improve yourself or maybe follow an art endeavor or maybe be part of an art endeavor. So that's what I'm doing. My niche is really in game dev. And I promise that, you know, I will be giving updates and just share thoughts and just digest things, as I go through this journey and record that and share it with you. So you could follow through the journey and the struggle primarily. So yeah, that's what the podcast is about for newcomers, in case, you know, this is the first episode that you are listening to. And so there's one thing that on my mind, which is kind of interesting, and this will be probably a bittersweet episode. And when I was walking the dog in the morning, I've been thinking of, you know, what should be the next episode about, because I had quite a lot of updates to share with you, but I think I'm going to save that to the next episode, because quite a big milestone. So we hit quite big milestones with the game dev thing. That's certainly something I would want to talk about, but maybe a little later. And by the way, this is the fourth episode, and you know that in case you listened to the previous three episodes, I mentioned that my English was certainly a top insecurity of mine. And I thought originally that I will not edit these episodes too much, right? Because that's how it would remain authentic. Right, that I don't edit out too many things. But the only thing that I noticed that the amount of "you knows" I used, you know, as a filler word, it just annoyed the hell out of me. I had to cut out about 70 "you knows" from the first episode, and probably around 70 from the second, and at least like 30 or 40 from the third episode. It was annoying the hell out of me. I didn't even know that I'm saying that many "you knows" when I speak in English and when my brain is booting. And I'm pretty sure that some will stay in this one or will be part of this one, and that will give me quite a lot of work to edit those out, because, yeah, I just realized that when I was listening to the tracks, it's like, yeah, it's not bad, but something annoys me. And even took me a while to recognize that, oh my God, how many filler words and phrases I'm using. It was so annoying, guys. You wouldn't believe it. So yeah, that's just a funny background of this podcast, that originally I thought, you know, it will be such a low effort. I'm just pressing the record button and that's it, right? And I will just publish the episode. I figure out the artwork and just add some text to it and that's it. But I realized that even, you know, this type of content needs editing, especially if you make so many annoying filler words or using so many annoying filler words in it. So I try to get better. And then I've been reading about it, like this one, the "like" word that I just used, that's also another filler word. So I'm using "like," you know, "right," as well as a filler word. It's so annoying. And I read about it that they say people usually who are nervous or just when they are thinking, they are not really comfortable with the silence that the thinking would require. So they inject these or insert these filler words and phrases into their talk track, but it's very annoying. So probably that's what happened to me. And they said the first good step to mitigate it is to be aware of it. So I'm in that phase, hopefully, that I start to become aware of it, that I'm doing this so many times. And I hope that as part of this recording, I will use a lot less of these filler words and phrases. So probably you haven't heard it because I cut it out, but it took me a lot of time to actually make those edits. So yeah, that's it. It's like a good wake up call, right? That we do these things and we are just not aware of it. Probably I have many, many more things that I could iron out regarding anything in my life, right? And then this was certainly one of it. So yeah. All right, with that out of the way, I'd like to switch to this bittersweet topic, which is kind of weird, and I want to just approach it as authentically as possible. So Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, died this month, actually just a couple of days ago. And I'm not sure if you guys ever had that feeling when somebody famous, maybe an actor or a musician or any type of artist, or maybe for some other people, it's like the leaders of a country or politicians, right? People that are very well known die. We kind of have some sense of grief, although we didn't even know them. And people can get very cynical about it. So for example, in my circles, it's pretty often happens that, just to give you an example, that Matthew Perry died, you know, from the actor from Friends. I was not a big fan of him ever, but I still remember his character and the joy that I got when I was watching his performance in Friends, right? It's just, yeah, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I only know that one character, but that character was present in our lives or in my life for so long that I just liked him. You know, it's like somebody I know. I know that I don't know him. And I was sad when he died. And basically, it's so easy to read, especially on the internet, comments like, why are you grieving? You know, like, you have no idea who he is. Like, who is he to you? So, and this has happened many, many times in my life when this has happened. Obviously, when people close to me passed away. And, you know, I'm on purpose not even talking about friends and family, because this is different, right? So yeah, maybe that's the thing, right? That there's this difference between being a relative or losing a family member versus losing somebody who you don't really know, not in your circles, not even a friend of yours. You just know that person, but that person probably doesn't know you. It's a weird thing, right? But that person still could have an impact on your life one way or another. And I think that's the beauty of art in general. When a writer passes away, for example, that's also super sad. Zaphon, the writer of Shadow of the Wind, just passed away a couple of years back, and I felt sad because he was the creator of the book series that I love so much. And it's weird that I just cannot really talk about this, that it makes me sad when a creator who had an impact on my life passes away, because the general reaction that I get is that, yeah, but why is that important? Why it's a big deal for you? You don't even know him. And yeah, it's like weird, right? Even now talking about this thing just invokes this weird feeling in me, is that, yeah, I have nothing to do with this, right? Why am I even thinking about it? And now what has happened is that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, died. And for 2 days, I'm kind of sad about it. I'm kind of grieving a little bit. I know it sounds stupid, maybe for some of you, or sounds weird. And I realize I don't really have many people to discuss this with, because they probably think I'm just stupid, like I overthink that. And maybe that's the line between just being a, I don't know what's the line, but it's just strange. And that's what I wanted to really unpack a little bit today. And just, I try to understand, like, why am I sad? Why still Akira Toriyama, a guy, a person, sensei, that I never knew, makes me sad that he passed away. And so Dragon Ball has been impactful also in the context of me being here today and talking about art and trying to make art for video games, is because it was, I believe, back in, I was real a small kid, maybe I was even under 10 years old. I think it was somewhere in 1997, when in the small village where I'm from, we've been playing with a friend over, I think it was over summer, when Dragon Ball, the first Dragon Ball series, you know, with the young Goku, which is anime, it's a cartoon series, but it was a manga, but it was adopted to TV animation, by the way, if you didn't know Dragon Ball. And we knew nothing about that, right? I didn't even know that anime and manga existed back in the day. I was really not knowledgeable on these things whatsoever. And I think it was back in 97, We were just having our summer vacation with a friend of mine. We spent the whole day together, mainly playing outside, but also occasionally when the parents allowed us, we just went into the room, closed the window blinds and just played some video games. We had the Famiclone, which was the cloned hardware of the NES system, and it had these legendary yellow cartridges, and occasionally we were allowed to play it, but not for too long, which is so funny, and we loved it. And obviously we also spent time on watching TV, especially in the afternoon, because in the afternoon and that time around we just had a handful of channels. In the afternoon, usually there was a cartoon block. And there were so many cartoons through the years as part of that, but one brand new cartoon just appeared, and it was Dragon Ball. And we managed to actually accidentally catch the very, very first episode of Dragon Ball, and we were hooked from the very, very first minute, even from the opening theme and music. It was just like magical. I can still remember that young but and small but very powerful little guy Goku with the monkey tail. It was so weird, but the animation, the art direction, the character design, the world design, the vehicle, and the whole atmosphere of the whole story was just like something truly amazing, and it just grabbed us from the very beginning, and we just couldn't stop watching it. And I remember it was like we've been just talking about it with my friend the whole day, like, what the hell was this? Oh my God, this was so good. And then, yeah, I think probably I was 8 or 9 years old that time around. And we followed through the entire series because it was aired. I think the first Dragon Ball had like 130-ish episodes, if I'm not mistaken. And by the end, Goku grows up. So this little fighter who lost his grandparent or grandfather who was raising him goes on this super big adventure, like the life that you really imagine yourself, that your life will, you know, hopefully be this adventure like his life. And he's making friends and along the way, and he gets a master, he gets like a real true friend and whatnot. So I really, really encourage everybody to watch it if you haven't already. My son loves it too, and he got just equally hooked when I showed the first Dragon Ball. And I managed to buy the manga and everything, and obviously Akira Toriyama is the one. You see, I'm not talking about the person much. I'm talking about his creation and the impact of that on my life. And probably the first important one is that Dragon Ball was one of the main reasons, believe it or not. And I'm pretty sure I'm not a unique person in that regard, because Dragon Ball, the series, made everybody draw. Like, literally, almost everybody. And I don't get why. Like, I don't really know why Dragon Ball made us draw the characters. But I still remember that the very first kind of good drawings of mine were Dragon Ball characters and just scenes and whatnot. It really made me, and I still remember clearly how driven I was that after I get home from school, I will sit down and draw. And I didn't even question it. You know, it's like I was a kid, so I never ever questioned like why I'm doing that. I just had this strong drive that when I get home, I have to sit down and draw Dragon Ball stuff. That's it. And others did it too. And I don't know, but I still remember how satisfying it was once I was done. And obviously we've been collecting cards, we've been collecting stickers, we had the albums and posters. Goku was on my wall as a poster, like a large poster. I still have it actually, still in my garage. No, actually it's in my son's bedroom now, because he... So even those posters that I kept, you know, like from like nearly 30, 25 years ago, I still have them and I kept them. They were so precious to me. I would never throw them out. And yeah, I still have them. And it was just so important for us. Like for others, probably collecting basketball player cards or football player cards. It's still a thing. And probably a little later on, Pokemon was also equally big, and probably it's even bigger. But for me, it was Dragon Ball. And it's just gave us so many things to connect with. And even today, it's so funny. Even if I'm an adult, Whenever I figure out about another adult that they or he likes Dragon Ball or she likes Dragon Ball, actually my wife loved Dragon Ball too. Maybe there's a reason, right, why we are together. And also her brother loved Dragon Ball. And actually almost all of my friends that I really, really love, they love Dragon Ball. And I don't know, it's just, it makes even for adults easier to connect and bond once you realize that you might have totally different backgrounds, but you share the same passion towards Dragon Ball. And I have no idea, but the themes of Dragon Ball, that this true friendship and then even enemies can become friends and fight for a good cause, is just something that's so rarely represented in anything, at least in a way that it spoke to me, right? There might be more, obviously my knowledge of all potential piece of art is limited, but I'm so glad that I discovered it. And I remember that, you know, we've been just talking about it all day long when we were kids. And when Dragon Ball Z started, or Z, actually we call it Z over here, but when Dragon Ball Z started, that was like, we were like totally blown away. Like we didn't even know that that could be even better than what it was before. And I think, and even now I'm having goosebumps, guys. Like right now I'm having goosebumps just thinking about it. And the storylines, the villains, the family members, and as Goku's family has grown and he had now a son, Gohan, and the way they become friends with Piccolo, and then the way Vegeta becomes kind of a good guy while he was for many episodes, he was one of the main antagonists. It was just totally mind-blowing. And it made us always draw. I remember school, we had like a Dragon Ball drawing contest because everybody, even girls, were drawing Dragon Ball. Like you have no idea. And that's the weird thing. It's not just about like loving Stranger Things or loving Game of Thrones nowadays where, yeah, you really like it and you discuss it, but you move on. But Dragon Ball was something truly special because probably it's because it, and even Star Wars didn't have that impact on me like Dragon Ball had, because we just looked at Star Wars, we loved it, but we didn't really draw the characters. It didn't really make us dive into art. And probably it's because it was animation, right? It was an animated show. And I remember that there was, I think it was not the first drawing contest in the school where it was not a Dragon Ball specific contest, but still many submissions, right? Many drawings that we submitted were Dragon Ball, right? Regardless of the topic of the of the contest. And I remember that one of these drawing contests were kind of open. So even parents were in there and they were watching over our shoulders, looking at us, what we are drawing. So it was kind of open. I remember parents were there and we sat down and we had a plan with the buddies from the classroom that we will be drawing Dragon Ball again. And I still clearly remember one of my buddy's mother came here and said, why are you always drawing Dragon Ball? Like, it's so boring now. You should draw something else. And I still remember how angry I was at that mother. Like, how can you say that? You know, like I was totally offended. Like, how can you say it's boring? It's absolutely not boring. You are boring. And that's what I thought, right? I never said that out. But in me, that's what I was always thinking of, is that how? It's not boring. And the funny thing is that now I'm 35, and even to this day, I deeply, deeply love Dragon Ball, and I still follow it, and I still rewatch it, and I'm still waiting for every single video game that comes out. So I even loved Super. I think Dragon Ball Super was pretty good. It started out silly, I know, but I also love that it kind of brought back this lighthearted, especially the first half of that series is kind of lighthearted and somewhat, you know, it's an homage to the first Dragon Ball series after Z, because Z becomes really violent, really bloody, very serious, at the same time, really emotional, and you really, really love the characters. And it's funny that through my years, I think I was around 21 when I started to rewatch the Dragon Ball Z series or Z series. And that time around on the PlayStation 2, there was Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3, which is, I think, it's one of the best games ever made, I mean, in the Dragon Ball franchise. And with a friend of mine, and he was also 21 that time around. I remember the summers when we were just endlessly playing that game together and talking about life and basically about life to come, right? I think when you're 21, you are just kind of dreaming about what's to come. You have ideas and you are pretty much optimistic about the future. At least that's how we were. But we were also very insecure because we really didn't know that what our life will be after we leave school and when we start the real life and once we will have a job and whatnot. But I remember that there was this insecure yet very memorable and somewhat legendary period of our lives. And we've been just endlessly playing Dragon Ball and just fighting against each other or against the CPU. And just talking all night about life and going deep into Dragon Ball theories. And I remember we had girlfriends that time around and we met in a bar, four of us, maybe a few more of us, but at least the four of us were there. And we've been just, you know, having like Dragon Ball theory discussions all night long. And I still remember, it's so funny, it always cracks me up when that memory comes back that we really, really upset and annoyed our girlfriends. They were so fucking annoyed with us. That we keep like we are 21-year-old adults, you know, like, of course, not really adults, but kind of. And we were just talking endlessly about Dragon Ball and what if scenarios and why this and why that and figuring out and trying to understand the power levels. And it was just ridiculous from the outside. But honestly, I don't mind that we did that. It just felt so right, felt important. And it was just so embedded in our lives that probably others thought we are idiots, like total idiots. And yeah, we just, everybody, and yeah, all of my dear friends, actually now I realized, just right after the recording of this episode, that the people that really love, they all love Dragon Ball. And maybe that's also a thing. And now I'm seeing the homage and all of these posts about after Akira Toriyama's passing, which is super sad. And that's why it makes me sad. Because I think it just reminds me that things end and that we don't really have much time. We may think we have time. And actually, I have this funny, stereotypical way of thinking about Japanese people that because Akira Toriyama, if it's not obvious, he's actually from Japan, especially being a Eastern European, my stereotypical way of thinking about Japanese is that I also think that they are super healthy and they live long, right? And they usually die after 90 years, like 90. I don't know why I think that, but that's what I just usually think. And I'm always kind of sad or surprised when I see a person dying at the age of 68, right? I think that's, oh my God, that's a young man in Japan. And that's what just happened with Akira Toriyama. The real meaning here, or what I'm trying to say, is that you may assume you have time, right? But you don't know, you can never know. And I think that's what comes back to art. And anything that you want to do with your life, I think, is that I might be 35 and I think probably I have 25 more or 35 more years to go, right? Hopefully, before I lose my mind and become like, you know, not as mobile and whatever. But maybe what if I just have 2? What if I just have 10? What if I have 50 more, right? But it's not that I want to scare anybody. It's just it makes me think about these things, right? That I could maybe just wait and be comfortable with inaction, like I mentioned in the previous episode, or I really get my shit together and do something about the things that I want to try in my life. And yeah, that's it. That's what this game dev thing is about. So yeah, I know I didn't really talk much about video game development, but now I really wanted to just focus on this holistic, this drive, other people being inspirational to you. And Dragon Ball is absolutely a cornerstone of me being here talking about it, drawing almost every other day, being serious about making art for video games, even if it's just a hobby project right now, right? I can't say it's professionally on solid ground, right? It's absolutely not. But Akira Toriyama really, really, really had a huge impact on my life. And I just realized it right now, right? His passing just made me realize that. And that's why I'm sad. And it makes me realize that I shouldn't just sit around, right? And just wait, if I really want to do something, I should just do it and go for it. And that's my key takeaway, right? And I allow myself to grieve a little bit because why not? He's not a family member, I know, but basically his creations are part of my life. I have the figures here. If I just look around myself here, a Son Goku figure just doing a Kamehameha. There's Vegeta, there's Beerus, there's Cell, there's another Goku. There's a poster, or like a puzzle, a Dragon Ball puzzle. Like I'm 35 years old adult, right? And I just still have all of these things around me. And whenever somebody is being a fucking asshole during work, you know, when I do my work and I just really meet like unpleasant customers or whatever, right? Like things, I just look at these statues and they just give me some energy, you know, like, and they just remind me that life is so much better than that particular situation. So yeah, that's my farewell to Sensei Toriyama. Yeah, otherwise I would have never ever thought or bothered to learn like how to pose a character or hands. And to be honest, still nowadays my favorite type of reference. Yeah, sometimes I take, you know, when I draw something complicated, I like to look at how Dragon Ball did it. I'm not gonna copy it, but I just look at it, you know, it makes me feel good and it makes me feel home and safe, and it's certainly an environment that I love dearly. And I'm looking forward to the new games. I love Dragon Ball FighterZ. I love Dragon Ball Kakarot. I think those games are beautiful. And I'm so happy that this community is still out there. And last fun story is that I was in Japan back in 2017 for 2 weeks in Tokyo. And I felt super lost there, right? I didn't speak Japanese. And Japan is one of the countries, if you don't speak Japanese, you can get really, really lost. Even though I work for an international company, the Japanese colleagues at that international company were barely speaking English too. So it's very difficult to have like a conversation flowing. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's certainly a bit difficult. And I mentioned to them that I love Dragon Ball dearly. And they were like, okay, Eric. So now we will put you through a test. We will ask you some non-obvious questions about Dragon Ball. And if you go through the test, then we will believe you are a true Dragon Ball fan. And they asked me so many questions. Like, I think it was around 10 questions that they asked me. They were really non-obvious questions, but I knew all of it. And after that, we just bonded. They were like shaking my hand and it was just so good, you know, that I said, all right, you passed the test. You're a true Dragon Ball fan. I was so proud. Actually, it's one of my biggest achievements. Like nobody would care. This is not something you could put on LinkedIn, right? Nobody would care about that. And that's the power of popular culture and animation art. I think that you could bond through it. Connecting through art is always the most memorable one for me. At least maybe that's totally subjective and others think I'm totally stupid, but I don't care. And then when I passed the test, I was so proud. Like it felt so good, and that we could finally start a conversation, right? We didn't have to do the regular small talk and the unpleasant, let's talk business that no one cares about right now, right? And it just brought us together. And that's what I see sometimes around music and video games. Video games have the same impact. When I discovered that somebody is also liking games, even though he's an adult, and especially that we like probably something, even similar games, that we can finally start talking about. Like we could finally be ourselves, you know, not just the corporate and the working persona of ours, right? And it's just that thing, you know, and that's why Akira Toriyama was super important and still is to me. And I'm just so grateful that he did what he did. And it really made our life much more fun. And with that, I leave you guys here and just think about it. Things end. And that's what the real sad part of this thing is, that now I know he's no longer creating. It's just a different world now. Obviously, nothing's going to invalidate what he did in the past. But yeah, there's no more new stuff coming out. And yeah, Dragon Ball was one of these universes where I just cannot get enough of it. guys, so don't be comfortable with inaction. At least that's my personal takeaway, that things end and my life's gonna end as well, hopefully not soon, right? But you can never know. So if you believe you want to try something, you want to do something, then just go for it. That's what I'm going to do too. That's my takeaway. And rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. You will be remembered for sure. Thank you. And thanks to you guys for listening. I'll be back with some cool updates around the video game endeavor that we are on in the next episode. So stay tuned and see you next time. Or talk to you next time. Yeah, that's better.